This is a synopsis of the sermon given by Canon Stephen Dart at Christ Anglican Church on October 29, Anno Domini 2023, on the 21st Sunday after Trinity. In the sermon today, I refer to the Apostle's words at the beginning of the sixth chapter of the epistle to the Ephesians, where he says, "Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So we hear these words and are encouraged as we remember that Jesus Christ is the same Lord who has come to destroy the works of the devil, and that in his saving ministry, he has, by his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and ascension, shattered the kingdom of Satan. And now, in the work of his redemption, we are participants in his finalizing that work of liberating our human race from the clutches of the enemy. And so his victory is to be manifest in our own lives as we live by the one who indwells us, and the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And so we are to experience the liberation from the kingdom of Satan that Christ has brought to all mankind. We are to experience that in our own Christian walk. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We sang today in hymn 553 that we should beware of those voices which would lead our soul astray. Beware the treachery of the voices that would lead our soul astray. And what kind of voices are we talking about? We are talking about the voice of the enemy, the same who led our first mother astray in the Garden of Eden. When we see the devil, the apostate angel, the one who has been cast out of heaven down to the earth, when we see his dialogue with Eve in the Garden of Eden, we see that he sets himself up as a counter-authority, as one who should be believed instead of God. So he asks Eve, what does she know about the tree? And she tells him that from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they are not to touch it or take of it, or they eat of it, or they will surely die. And the enemy says, no, you won't. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you shall become wise. And so the underlying idea, they'll become wise, become as God, but the condition without God. And here is the setting up of a counter-authority where Eve believes the devil instead of God. And we know the catastrophic consequences of that bad decision. So through the Old Testament, we hear the cautionary tales of those who would listen to voices other than God. And instead of the one true God, the one who would bring us into his light and life, other voices are presented. And then we see in the time of the incarnation, when the Word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us, that Jesus in his earthly ministry, just after his baptism, when he is fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and is afterward unhungered, then comes the enemy to tempt him. And we see the tactic of the enemy to set himself up as an authority that should be believed instead of God. And so he begins to say to Christ, command that these stones be made bread, or jump off the temple, or bow down and worship me. And in each circumstance, Christ denies the authority of the devil and counters him with the word of God from the scriptures, and the enemy has no handle on him. He can't surmount him, and Christ is victorious against the devil, showing us how we are to combat the evil one, the sword of the Spirit, and with the word of God. And so here is the gift given to us that our Lord is champion over the enemy from the beginning of his earthly ministry and then through his saving work where he is delivering now our human race from bondage to the enemy, and in him we are to triumph. In our own lives, there will be some who try to set themselves up as counter authorities to God. Instead of believing God, we are to believe another voice. And so it's very prevalent in our time where people will turn to something else to believe instead of God. They will turn to, for example, tarot cards or horoscopes or a spiritualist or somebody who channels a demon or says they channel a spirit, an angel, but they're channeling a demon. Or they believe that they have They might gain some wisdom if they summon the spirits or use a Ouija board or something of that like, where another voice is speaking that they are going to believe. Well, from the outset, we as Christians know we are not to do that. God, who is omnipotent and the one who is our creator, who loves us, who has sent Jesus into the world to redeem us, wants us to come into relationship and into conversation with him, where we would hear his voice as our great and high shepherd, and that he would lead us into those places where there is life and life eternal. So we are to deny those other voices and not to give them any heed. Why would I want to come into a conversation with a lesser spirit, especially a fallen angel, a demon, if I have immediate invitation to immediate access to the Holy Spirit? Let me take directions from the Holy Spirit and not be beguiled, seduced, and ruined by the evil spirits. We see also that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is also a gift to the church in the work of Ignatius Loyola, a Counter-Reformation saint from the 16th century. And we have in his gift to the church of the rules of discernment, a way to understand the subtle motions of the enemy and how he would be a treacherous voice that could lead our soul astray. In the first rule, 1.2, we hear that the work of the enemy on those who are persevering in the faith and going from good to better in the spiritual life, those who are intensely cleansing themselves, it is the tactic for the enemy to bite them, to sadden them, to put obstacles in their path and give them false reasons why they should not persevere, why they should not continue in well-doing. False reasons why they should not continue. So knowing this, we should be very diligent in examining our thoughts, whether they be of God, whether they be of another spirit, and see if they are giving us false reasons why we may not continue in well-doing, for that is the way of the enemy. The Holy Spirit speaks differently to the soul, the one who is purifying himself. The Holy Spirit will give them consolation and grace, expand them out in faith, hope, and love, give them courage to persevere, and lead them on the right way, on the pilgrim path to the joys of heaven. So I remember once I was on a retreat, this is right before seminary, with a colleague. We were invited to go to Murfield House, Anglican Brothers in Yorkshire, England, and some of them have been great missionaries into Africa. And on this retreat, while I was there, I was at the table, and there were some brothers that were in an argument that got a little bit heated. And after dinner, I was a little bit shocked and saddened by this. I thought I had this kind of romantic idea that those brothers that would be in a monastery would be all light and love and peace. But no, these two were bickering and kind of getting on each other. So afterward, I spoke to one of the older monks, whose name was Father Benedict, and he took me on a walk through the garden. So picture an English manor house and the stately garden that had been donated to the brothers, and a stately garden out in front, English and manicured. Went through our walk through the shrubbery, and I expressed my disappointment in these brothers that had been arguing with each other, in my mind, at dinner. And he stopped me on the path, and he looked at me with these clear blue eyes. It was like looking at the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Stephen, we must never be discouraged." So he brought me right out of that place of desolation into consolation, and blessed me. Father Benedict gave me a blessing. So it is that, again, the work of the Holy Spirit is to give us courage that we may persevere. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to overcome the temptation of agreeing with false reasons why we may not continue in well-doing. There are other voices, too, that may bring us, off the pilgrim path And maybe as we advance in a spiritual life, we come to a place where we are not in conversation with others about where we're at in our own spiritual walk. Remember from last week, Father Gassatura's preaching about in his sermon, he mentioned that the devil is an apex predator. He is like a lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is one that will single out people and remove them from the flock and then take them down. And one way the enemy can do this is by acting like a seducer. So if you think about a man that is seducing a young woman, he'll operate under cover of darkness, in the secret, try and get her into a tryst where she is only in conversation with him, but nobody else is to know about the relationship. Because if the father finds out, well, that'll, you know, he won't have any way to make his advances. Where is Romeo when he's seducing Juliet? He's in the garden. She is, it's at night. The father doesn't know. And we have the, you know, invitation that he gives her is the welcome into a tragedy. So the enemy works on an individual soul in the same way. They may come into a place where they are convinced that whatever it is there, whatever emotion of the heart they have that is away from love of God and love of neighbor, that this is something that they should not tell anybody. It's something that they may feel ashamed of, that they think is, you know, somebody else would think is silly, or they might be shunned if they were to, you know, bring it to somebody. But in the spiritual life, in humility, we find that wise people have wise counselors, and that it is a mistake for a person to, in the maturity of their spiritual walk, see themselves as their own spiritual director. The wise have wise counselors, and so we might ask ourselves, who is our wise counselor for our spiritual walk? If we are to remain physically healthy, we have those who can see how we're doing on the physical level. If we want to stay spiritually healthy, we need to be in conversation with those who can see and help us discern if we are healthy on the spiritual level. And so the enemy leaves as a seducer would if there are other people involved. And we find the great liberation that when we bring things into the light, the enemy doesn't have the same hold on us. He's not able to separate. We're not separated now from the flock. We are in union with others. And we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might when we are in the company of others who help us to bring things into the light. And when we name the sin, it loses its power. And so on this 21st Sunday of Trinity, when we are at the end of October and on the cusp of seeing a cultural celebration and exaltation of those things that are evil and wicked, let us be different as peculiar people and seek to glorify God in all things and stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to resist those voices that would lead us astray, to reject the treachery of those lesser spirits, the evil spirits, not trusting them as a counter-authority. Let us come into a place of courage and strength as we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to persevere in the life of faith and to continue in well-doing and waiting upon God to remove obstacles and to expand us out in faith, hope, and love. And may we seek the company of others who are mature in the faith, that we might be encouraged by them to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might to remove all approaches of the enemy that would seduce us away into rebellion against God. May God bless us as we come in this holy place to offer our prayer and praise, and may he strengthen us and continue to show and manifest his victory over the enemy in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.